So it's a teaching.
I like to teach because that's the teacher explains. And the goal of teaching is light and understanding. Okay, can we just quickly read Mark 9 again, verse 17 to 29. And then we will go for our first question. Mark chapter 9, verse 17 to 29. Someone who has not read today. Mark 9, 17 to 29. Who is it going to be? Mark chapter 9. I'm looking at this side now. Mark chapter 9, verse 17 to 29. You've not read today. You'd like to read it. Okay. Sister Derungs.
Mark 9, verses 17 to 29. One of the men in the crowd spoke up and said, "Teacher, I brought my son so you could heal him. He is possessed by an evil spirit that won't let him talk. And whenever the spirit seizes him, it throws him violently to the ground. Then he foams at the mouth and grinds his teeth and becomes rigid. So I asked your disciples to cast out the evil spirit, but they couldn't do it. Jesus said to them, 'You faithless people, how long must I be with you? How long must I put up with you? Bring the boy to me.' So they brought the boy."
Pause you there. So you feel that the first problem, or the main problem, why they could not cast out the spirit, was that they were faithless. Amen? That's the master problem there. Continue.
"So they brought the boy, but when the evil spirit saw Jesus, it threw the child into a violent convulsion, and he fell to the ground, writhing and foaming at the mouth. How long has this been happening?' Jesus asked the boy's father. He replied, 'Since he was a little boy. The spirit often throws him into the fire or into water, trying to kill him. Have mercy on us and help us if you can.' 'What do you mean, if I can?' Jesus asked. 'Anything is possible if a person believes.' The father instantly cried out, 'I do believe, but help me overcome my unbelief.'" Amen. Amen.
So you find out that a major barrier to the work of God in our lives is what?
Unbelief.
Amen? Unbelief. I was explaining to someone yesterday, I said, you can call the name of Jesus, but in unbelief. You're just calling it in fear, not in faith. To get things to work, you have to stay in faith. Okay? Not in fear or unbelief. The disciples tried, but they didn't succeed. They did it the way they saw Jesus do it, but they had what? Unbelief. Continue.
"When Jesus saw that the crowd of onlookers were growing, he rebuked the evil spirit. 'Listen, you spirit that makes this boy unable to hear and speak,' he said, 'I command you to come out of this child and never enter him again.' Then the spirit screamed and threw the boy into another violent convulsion and left him. The boy appeared to be dead. A murmur ran through the crowd as people said, 'He's dead.' But Jesus took him by the hand and helped him to his feet, and he stood up. Afterward, when Jesus was alone in the house with his disciples, they asked him, 'Why couldn't we cast out that evil spirit?' Jesus replied, 'This kind can be cast out only by prayer.'" Amen.
And that is another key, you know, which is your faith is only going to be in gear, since the master problem was faith. But one of the things that will help your faith to be in gear is what? Prayer. Yeah? I will just enlarge it and call it fellowship. Fellowship with God and fellowship with other believers. When you fellowship with God and fellowship with other believers, your faith grows. Amen? It can deliver more results. He didn't say all evil spirits cannot be cast out. He said, but this kind. So they're all in levels. Yeah? Mountains are not the same size. Yeah? Some mountains are, you know, climb people easily. So you need expensive gear, or, you know, expensive gear to climb them. Okay. So anyway, let's go into our questions. First question is this. This is not in my list, but the Holy Spirit dropped it. What are evil spirits or demons? Don't be afraid. You're already dealing with them, whether you like it or not. We will see today that that in life, there's no way you can be in this world and pass through this world and not deal with evil spirit. Because when we explain, you will see how they work. Then you know that they are very much around. So what are they? I mean, you know who people are, don't you? Yeah. And the first thing to tell you that people are not demons. I know that some people, you know, like, you know, when they do very bad, you say they're a demon, yeah? But obviously, these are separate entities, but they manipulate people, yeah? So what are evil spirits? Yep.
Evil spirits are spirits
contrary, or demons.
Demons.
Yeah.
Contrary to the spirit of God. So I can say they are the fallen angels that were cast out by God with Satan.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's a good answer. It's not perfect, but it's good. Yes. Any other person? What are evil spirits? Yes, you got to have some idea.
They attack you by bringing fear and doubt and all sorts of hatred.
Yes, so you say what they do.
Negativity into your life.
Yes, negativity, yes. I agree. But that's what they do. What are they? Or you can say there are no evil spirits. It's all a lie. Sister Pamela, then I come to Sean, then we move on. What are evil spirits?
They are the one ruling the world.
They are demons in our world right now. Manipulating and ruling people's lives. Yes? By the way. Yes, Sister Frida. Shana, I'll come to you, don't worry. I noted your hand. Yes?
Evil spirits is when you are being controlled by the power of the devil.
Evil spirits are controlling spirits that promote evil. Yeah. Evil spirits is an external force that seeks to control people and make them do evil things. Isn't it? Against their will. Okay? Yes? Sean, one more. Because of time, I will just move on there. Yes?
As God has his angels, the devil has his demons.
And yes.
Carry out
as God has angels, the devil has, you know, angels are messengers of God. And evil spirits are what? Messengers of the devil. Actually, it's deeper than that. They are children of the devil. I can't go into that. Theologically, there's a distinction between fallen angels and evil spirits. See, fallen angels, as God made them, God did not make angels to live within bodies, in physical bodies. God made angels with spiritual bodies. So they don't really desire to come and live in a body. Yeah, but they may want to control. But these evil spirits, they want to, if they have their way, take over the body. Okay? And that gives us an idea that probably they had bodies before. And I think that, so that's just my theory that, you know, the flood of Noah. That's the key. But again, I don't want to go there. But now, just assume that evil spirits are what? Children of the devil. They are spirits, they are evil, and they seek to manipulate. Okay, let's just leave it there. So now, remember that last two times we talked about strongholds of the spirit. We talked about strongholds, and then we talked about strongholds of the flesh. We dealt with that. And strongholds of the spirit. Strongholds of the flesh have to do with your mind and body. Look, your mind has desires that are natural. And some are good, and some are bad. You are capable of thinking good thoughts, and you are capable of thinking bad thoughts. Someone annoys you. You don't need an evil spirit to think bad about them. That's just you being human. Yeah? Yeah? Then your body has desires. Your body has desires. Your body is designed with desires. There's a desire for food. There's a desire for drink. There's a desire for, you know, as you mature and grow into puberty and above, there's a desire for physical intimacy. These are perfectly, you know, legitimate desires that God put in the body. Now, you can be tempted by these desires. You can be tempted to eat too much. You can be tempted to sleep too much. Yeah? You can be tempted, you know, to commit immorality. But these are still flesh. It's not like, you know, they don't necessarily have to be evil spirits. It's just you, you know, being, you know, drawn away by your desire. You understand? So a desire in your body, a thought in you, can be used for good or evil. You can choose it. Are you with me? So, if you find yourself, for example, falling into a particular sin, let's assume gluttony, you like to eat too much. I'm not talking to you. You know, it's not necessarily an evil spirit. It may just like be like you like food. You understand? You like food more than normal. You understand? You know, and there are other things, you know. There are people that like sleep. They just like to sleep. And there are people that like ice cream. They will just go for it. You understand? There are people that like to play. And there are also people that are workaholics. All they want to do is what? Work. You understand? So these are just natural desires. But natural desires can tempt you in the wrong direction. If you like them. Anything you like is a source of temptation. Are you with me? But I want to separate between that and evil spirits. Okay? And you see where they overlap. Because they overlap actually. So a stronghold is anything that has a stronghold on you. A stronghold of the flesh is a fleshly desire that is holding you bound. It was a desire that came from your body or your mind as a human being. But you so much like it now, you can't help it. So it's a stronghold of what? The flesh. And what we said in the last 3 weeks about this topic is that our job, your mind is not born again. It's your spirit is born again. God is the Father of spirits. He says, except a man be born of the spirit. He said, human beings can only reproduce human lives. The spirit gives back to spiritual life. When you are born again, the miracle is in your spirit. You understand? Now, you have something to do with your mind. If you don't control your mind, it will do bad things. It will think bad thoughts. It will entertain bad thoughts. And the Bible says that our job is to renew our mind with the word of God. And not to think like the world. Okay? Your body also needs control. You understand? If it's controlled, it will serve God well and bless many lives. If you don't, if you allow your body to do anything it wants to do, it can land you in hell. You understand? It's just natural desire, no evil spirit. Okay? So a stronghold is anything that has a stronghold on you. Now, what a stronghold of the spirit is an external force that comes to impose itself over your life and over your will. Are you with me? It's no longer your will alone. There's a force. And I keep telling people, I say, God, because he's a good God, does not force you. He does not force you to do anything. Even when you have a spiritual experience, you're saying this on Friday, if you have a spiritual experience and God touches you and you start crying, it's not God making you cry. Your cry is just your own response to the touch of God. And there's room for that. It's okay. You see, we all have emotional makeup and it's not useless. If your emotions were useless, God would not have given you. Anything God gave you is not useless. Are you with me? So God can touch you and you cry. That's your response. But it's not God that made you cry. You were just responding. You can stop crying at any time. Are you with me? Yeah. But the devil forces. God urges you or it stimulates you. The devil what? Imposes. The question is this. How can you define a stronghold of the spirit? Let me just do this and I'll go to the next question for time. A stronghold of the spirit necessarily involves the work of evil spirits. It's not just only your desire. An evil spirit can come and take hold of your desire and force you. Always do it. Despite the fact that you don't want to. And you should, we know when you are being forced that there is an external force. But sometimes there's no external force. It's just you liking what you're doing. You have to separate it. So a stronghold of the spirit is a work of an evil spirit which has come. Because they are evil. They like to do evil things. And they are looking for a body to express themselves. So they come to force you. Okay? A stronghold of the spirit has to do with anything abnormal. Listen to the word abnormal, unnatural, unclean. Can you understand? So, but the key word I want to bring is abnormal. It's unnatural. When something is unnatural, there must be an external force enforcing it. Can you see what I'm saying? Because it's not natural. Okay? So if you have an unnatural desire, you can suspect something external. You understand? But if you have a natural desire that everybody struggles with, it doesn't necessarily have to be an evil spirit. You are just being human. Are you with me? My desire to eat is not unnatural. But if I'm always desiring to throw myself into the fire, that's what? It's unnatural. Are you with me? Now, stronghold of the spirit, another one is, they are controlling. Now, don't come and tell me about your wife trying to control you. I don't mean that. They are controlling, they are dominating, they are manipulating spiritual forces. Okay? You know, some people try to dominate people's mind. Just obsess them with a particular thinking pattern over and over again. They don't want it, but they can't help it. This is what I'm trying to say. Yeah? It's a stronghold of what? Of the spirit. Another definition, just for you to begin to identify them, is they are defiling, they are tormenting, and they are enslaving. An external force comes in your life, whether in the body or in the mind, and tries to enslave you and make you do what you don't want to do over and over again. Yeah? It's a stronghold of the spirit. An external force in your life comes in and tries to depress you. You understand? Or every time you're having nightmare. That's not natural. If you have anything once in a while, okay. But every time, yeah, you're having what? Nightmare every day. It's unnatural. There's something external about it. Okay? Patterns of sickness and disease that are a pattern. Let's say a family pattern. You know, somebody died at 20, and then somebody died at 30, their child died at 30, their grandchild died at 30. There's a pattern there. It's unnatural. You understand? It's a stronghold. Okay? Now, the point I want to make before we go into questions is, it doesn't matter because you are born again. You know, you're born again, yes? But if you go on the street and you don't have any footwear on and there are sharp stuff on the feet, on the street, will it pierce you or not? Doesn't matter if you're born again. You understand? The fact that you're born again does not immune you from the work of evil spirits if you don't protect yourself. Can you see what I'm going to say? If you expose yourself, they will have a few days. But if you protect yourself, because you are born again, you have the power to protect yourself. But if you don't, you cannot pray. And you can still be coming and praising God, but they are operating. Okay? Now, let me stop there and involve us. And now say, I've defined it. One more thing to say is that, last one. Strongholds of the spirit, they are oppressive. I'm not talking about government oppression. Okay, they are obsessive. Okay, that is something that just tries to dominate you completely. And they are what? They are possessive. They try to take over your life in one aspect or the other. Someone is work hard. They work hard, but they can't pull anything together. There's no sign that they worked in their life. They look absolutely poor. It's a stronghold of what? Of the spirit. Because that's oppressive. It's a natural result. You understand? Because when you work hard, yeah, and you earn income, it should have a positive influence on your way of living. Okay? Now, questions now. Yeah, did you put up your hand, sir? Hello? Did you want to say something? All right, good. So this is the next question to explain to us. Let's now begin. I've defined this. Can we, everybody in this church, I want you to give one example. In my list, I have about 20 in my list right there. And it's not exhaustive. Can we now give examples of strongholds of the spirit that we see in the human lives on a daily basis? Yes. I'm sure I've said some of them already, but let's mention them. Yes. Examples of strongholds of the spirit, which is the work of evil spirit that manifests in people's lives. Yeah, from day to day. And why we need to list this, so we can identify them. You understand? Because when you can identify the devil, you are closer to defeating the devil. Yes?
Lust and bad thoughts.
Yes, but that can be flesh. Bad thoughts can be flesh. But when the bad thoughts are domineering, they are forcing themselves on you and you can't help them. Yes, it can be a stronghold of what? Of the spirit. Okay, sometimes some of the thoughts that come to us, some of them, not all your thoughts come from you. I want you to understand. Some of your thoughts come from God. Some are from you thinking, from your past experiences, or your current experience. Some are evil spirits. Some thoughts come to your mind. It's an evil spirit that came up your shoulder and said it. It's selling that idea. Yeah? Now, it's watching you, whether you entertain the idea. If you don't entertain the idea, it goes. It tries again. If you entertain it, he will just relax there, continue to blow you and tell you more. And then it becomes obsessive. Where that thought is forcing itself and dominating. Now you begin to think it like he wants you to think it. And if you keep doing that, after a while, that evil spirit can come into your mind. Because now you've accepted the thought and sit on you and dominate in that part of your life. For example, like, an evil spirit can come and tell someone, like, nobody likes you. Yeah? And he just says, well, no, that's not true. He just keeps repeating until the moment you believe it, it comes in. So nobody likes me. Then now every day, imagine somebody is trying to do something. Well, he's just ringing. Nobody likes me. Nobody likes me. And then the evil spirit will progress itself and say, nobody likes you. Kill yourself. It's the work of what? An evil spirit. It's not just you. Okay? It's the obsessive. It's destructive. Yes? Did you? Yeah.
Well, I wanted to say constant state of depression
regarding yes.
External circumstances.
A constant state of depression. Now, you can feel down if things are not going well. Yeah? That's just a response, you know, to stimuli. That's natural. It's just emotion. Something has not, your day has not gone well, you can feel down. You with me? It's not anything evil spirit. And you are not in depression. But let me just explain that again. I feel that some people, like in this country, will say they're in depression. They're not in depression. They are just, you know, things are not going well and they feel down. But they are close to depression. But they are not in depression. They will not go into depression when they accept it. You know, when those feelings come of downness, you don't, instead of resisting them, you let it dominate you. The problem that happens is that the evil spirit now comes and says, this is a candidate. It's a candidate for easy, because evil spirit find it easier to attack the most vulnerable. So someone is already down, they want to come and help you, and you have to then say, no way, I resist you. Things are not feeling good, but I refuse to be under what? Depression. So constant depression is a work of an evil what? Spirit. Or let me say evil. Sometimes they come in gangs, not only one. Yes? Examples of?
Obsessive.
Before you say that, let me just requalify it. Examples of strongs of the spirit, but there are two other ways to call it. Examples of spiritual oppression. Or another word for it is example of curses. When evil spirit operates, it's like a curse. Yeah, continue.
I would say obsessive thoughts of self-harm and suicide.
Yes. Obsessive. Look, God is never in the business of killing anybody. He wants to save your life. You know, let's assume that someone is the worst person on earth. God still doesn't want to kill you. He wants to save you. Can you believe? There is no doubt about it. That self-harm and suicide is a work of what? Evil spirit. That's won't be 100% sure. Hallelujah. Now, but remember, the fact that somebody has had that thought at all ever does not mean the evil spirit has dominated them. They start from outside. Remember their external? They start and sell the idea. But when you start entertaining it, they come in to sit and enforce it. Are you with me? Now, if someone is under that, they need help. And then you run for help. And the help you need most is in the church, the place of fellowship. Because if you are dealing with a spiritual force, pills is not what we... You can take pills. You know, there's something called clinical depression, where, you know, you have hormonal imbalance. Pills will help you. Are you with me? Yeah? Pills may help you forget your sorrows. But pills will not chase out and what? An evil spirit. You need spiritual authority. But you yourself can resist an evil spirit. You can resist it. You can decide, you will not dominate me and I command you to leave me in Jesus. And you refuse to think that. But the problem is that the longer you stay under an obsession, the more difficult it is to help yourself. You need external help. And that's why you need to find someone who can agree with you and do it. Okay? But you can do it yourself as a believer. Yes? Yes? Examples of spiritual oppression. I'll come back to you.
Blindness. So, meaning that, for instance, there are people, you can preach them, you can tell them, you know, like, the So the Lord exists, the devil exists, but they will still say, no.
Yeah,
I don't
believe that. Yeah, argue, so they will still, yeah. Spiritual blindness, I don't have any doubt about it, is a stronghold of the spirit. And that's why you need to take authority and break the power. Some people you are praying for in your life, in your family, for them to be born again, and they are not. Are you listening to me? Usually we miss it. We always are just praying to God. God, save this. God already wants to save them. He already sent his son. His son already died and rose for the whole world. So it's not a God problem. Usually it's a devil problem. So the prayer to change and say, I command in Jesus' name that every power of spiritual blindness sitting on the life of my father be broken in Jesus' name. Every day do that. Every day do that. And then and when you do that, you're not saying, in the name of Jesus, I claim. You are to claim it, the salvation of my dad. That's a more effective prayer. Amen? Yes? Strongest examples of spiritual oppression. Let's just have a go. Examples of spiritual oppression. Yeah? We've defined what evil spirits are. Do you believe evil spirits are real? So what are the evidences that they are in oppression? Anyone? I mean, repeated patterns of illness. Terminal illness. It's not only just... There are terminal illness. See, any illness that is occurs within a short time want to destroy your life should not just be suspected in terms of only sickness. It can also be what? The work of evil. Like in this example we read in the Bible, the deaf and dumb boy. Some other cases, Jesus would just put his hands on them and heal them. But he didn't. In this case, it was an evil spirit. So let's understand this. It's like a 50-50. Some cases, there's no evil spirit. It's just healing people need. In some cases, it's an evil spirit enforcing that condition. But it's not always. Do you understand me? Yeah, sometimes it's just purely a brokenness in the body. But some other times, it's the work of an evil spirit. Okay? So, terminal illness can be a brokenness of the body, where the body has been mismanaged. Yeah? Someone spent all their life smoking. They can bring illness into their lungs. And it's not necessarily the work of an evil spirit. But someone spent all their lives, you know, abstaining from what could destroy their lungs, and then this thing just comes on them. It can as well be an evil spirit. And in those cases, it's not enough to pray for healing. You also need to stand and command. You see, in Jesus' case, he rebuked the spirit and said he should leave. And then the boy was well. Amen? Yes? Round two. Let's take round one first.
Sure about this mental illness.
Mental illness. Or what?
Kleptomania, like stealing when you don't need the money.
Let me tell you something. Someone is from a rich home, but when they go out to their friends anytime, they steal. There's money at home. Yeah. But they steal. It's a work. There's an external force. This is not just being tempted, because they could have access. It's an external force making them do it. The mental illness, but let me just say, not all cases of mental illness are evil spirits. You understand? If somebody's life turns completely upside down, completely, for a prolonged time, they will feel down. Now, if they are not supported with the right type of people, company, fellowship, support, they can crash it and lose it mentally. They can lose their senses just because of trauma. And that cause of losing senses is abuse. But at least half the time is the work of an evil spirit. And another reason I know is that when this evil spirit always look for the vulnerable point of somebody's life. So even somebody who has suffered abuse and trauma is more vulnerable to the work of an evil spirit than someone who has not. Are you with me? But thank God, because there's healing in Jesus' name. If you suffer abuse and trauma, it's not enough reason. That's why I keep saying the greatest need of a believer is fellowship. When you're in fellowship, you have healing. But if you're out of fellowship, the devil can get you easier. Yes, more? Yeah, I'll give you a second turn. And maybe I should take three more and then move on.
You know, I think one of the major ground that the enemy uses is taking advantage of people's insecurities.
Yes.
Because I've, like we said, Pastor, when the devil or demon or evil spirit will give you an idea, most of the time it comes by suggestion or because of people's insecurities. Like there's people, they, because of the insecurities, they become over obsessive with plastic surgery, trying to change how they look. That was a story I heard. A woman actually changed her whole race. She actually became black and changed and enhanced all of her looks completely. So that's another example. Or there's people, they become very insecure, so they join a cult. So I've noticed it takes advantage of people's insecurity, and that leads to other places of darkness.
I absolutely agree. If I told you that one of the strongest gateways of an evil spirit into a human being's life is the spirit of fear. I'm telling you, that's insecurity. One of your greatest vulnerabilities in life is fear. You understand? Fear. Even people who are abused, if fear comes in. Yeah? When fear, there's natural fear, you know, like, I mean, like, I won't jump in front of a train. I fear to be crushed. I don't want to be, you understand? There's natural, normal fear. But when fear comes on your life as a force, is the work of an angel. And it's a gateway. You know, if you allow it, that one's saying, you don't have to allow it. But sometimes you can't resist alone. You need fellowship. Amen? So just say, I need fellowship. Fellowship is so important. Fellowship with God, fellowship with believers. It's so important. It's your strongest security as a believer. Because when you're alone, it can really get you. But when fear comes in and is a stronghold in you, is an insecurity. And is a gateway. Real gateway. You understand? Real gateway. Somebody is upset with plastic surgery. They destroy the body that God has given them. In fact, there's no anybody upset with plastic surgery, for example, the end product is always worse. Always. Maybe the first go, okay. Second go, okay. But by the time they keep going, they mess it up. It's the work of what? Evil. Obsession. Obsession. When somebody is very obsessive, yeah? And you don't have any control, is a gateway. Okay? Okay, two more. And we move to the next question. Two more. Any other one? Okay, I can move. Pastor James, okay. Oh, no. Agnes has not spoken. She has to. Mumba has not spoken. She has to.
Well, he's one of you. Good. I have two in mind. One is infidelity. The other one is... it's gone from my head. Addiction.
Yeah. What you mentioned is not a stronghold. It's not a work of... Infidelity is not necessarily a work of this evil spirit. But it's a gateway. That's what I want to move to next. Gateways. So, what I'm saying that infidelity doesn't start as the work of an evil spirit. It starts as a work of the flesh. Infidelity, which is unfaithfulness, yeah, in marriage, does not start as a work of an evil spirit. It starts as a work of the flesh. But then, an evil spirit can take over and consolidate it as a stronghold. And you just find such people, they will just repeatedly continue to behave like that. And they can't evidence it. They are bound. Sometimes they even think they're enjoying. They are actually what? In serious bondage. Okay? All right, so let's move to the next question. Next question now is, we've seen some of these strongholds. Let me give some of this my list. Physical illness, mental illness, stamina illness, depression, oppression, allergy, early death, suicide, perversion, barrenness, unfruitfulness, spiritual blindness, fear, confusion, disharmony, violence, war, addiction, stagnancy, backwardness, poverty, bondage, nightmares, accidents. All this can be the work of evil spirits. But the question I'm really interested in is, what are the doorways or the gateways to... Because basically, God, it's not as if God put you at the mercy of evil spirit. When you are born again, yeah? God has a protection over your life. It's not as if maybe God just leaves us at the mercy. And it's like, Satan is not bigger than God. Satan is not even an enemy of God. Now, understand, I don't say he is God, but he's no match for God. God doesn't fight the devil. Even at the end of time, He said, fire, he will just open his mouth, fire will come and consume them. God doesn't fight a sword fight with the devil. God created him. So that's not a problem for God. Satan is the enemy of human beings. Do you see what I'm saying? But God has given us protection against him. So we don't actually need to be under any of this oppression. But there are some doorways or some gateways that make it possible for him to come in. This is what I'm trying to say. As a believer, I want to look at those doorways because it means that if I can deal with the doorways, I can keep him out of my life. And you know, if it was not true, I wouldn't even be preaching this message. I would be afraid that, oh, you're talking about the devil, he'll get you. He can't get you if you are in the protection that God has given you. The devil does not have infinite authority. I told you, if the devil has infinite authority now, he will just raise a tsunami that will destroy the whole world. Is that evil? But he can't. He all has to operate within rules and regulations. So it's only when we go out of our own, you know, godly protection, that he can walk. If we stay within that protection and we don't open the door, he can't come in. Are you with me? And there are also ways to kick him out. We'll talk about that next week. But today I'm looking at what are the doors we can open that can allow for spiritual oppression. Let me also say this, that spiritual oppression doesn't start immediately you open the door. So in some cases it does, but mostly it doesn't. It may be weeks, months, even years before it becomes a stronghold. You understand? Because before the devil can take over you, he will first try and try and try. But the more you allow him, the more it takes more room. Are you with me? Look, before we do that, let's open to Ephesians chapter 4 and read verse 27. So that you know I'm talking about from me from the Bible. Yes, let's have Agnes. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 27. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 27. It's open there. And let's have it from like two, three versions. Ephesians 4, 27. Yes, go for it.
For anger gives a foothold to the devil.
Say that again.
For anger gives a foothold to the devil.
You see, he's talking about some. There are things we can do in our life that can provide a foothold for what? The devil to operate. One of them, for example, one of the doorways is what? Anger. Yes? That's fine. That's fine. Thank you. Another version. Ephesians 4:27.
And do not give the devil an opportunity to lead you into sin.
Don't give the devil an opportunity. If he gets an opportunity, I know you are born again. I know you won't speak in tongues. But when Satan gets an opportunity, he will ride it. He will. Even the person is an evangelist, pastor, bishop, whatever. If he opens your door, he will ride it.
To lead you into sin by...
Okay, another version. One more version. One more version. Anybody have amplified? Yes, go for it. Anyone you have. Ephesians 4:27.
Nor give place to the devil.
Neither. Another version says, neither give place. Somebody say, neither.
Neither.
Give place.
Give place.
To the devil. Mm-hmm. Say, I refuse to give place to the devil. Are you with me? The devil is external to you. Say, Jesus, say, the devil is not in me. I'm a child of God. He's external. And I refuse to give him place. Wherever I've been giving him place, as from today, I refuse him place in my life. Amen. So good. The doorways, I can tell you clearly this, the doorways or the gateways to spiritual oppression in general are works of the flesh. That's why we have to deal with the flesh first. Any work of the flesh that starts dominating your life opens a door. Now, what examples? Yes, let's have many, and I'll then begin to round up. Examples of work of the... examples of doorways. Things you can do repeatedly that will open the door for evil spirit to come and oppress you. Yes?
Talking too much.
Uh-huh. Careless talking. Now, I'm not saying like... You know, I've been talking now for like 40 minutes. I don't necessarily mean that. Careless idle talking. Some people talk about, you know, I'm just tired of life. And they keep saying it. Do you know that can bring a demon in? who will come and make cut their life short. Some people say that, and they get a disease. It's that simple. So there are some things that you cannot just make. You can't talk like the world. But I was always to be sober and vigilant, because our adversary, the devil, is going around. You understand? He says, this feet is killing me. I know, this strong leg sounds nice, but you don't want anything to kill you. Do you get it? Even if sickness shows up, you refuse that it will kill you. It doesn't have the power to kill you. Until you allow it, and if you allow it, you are now saying it. You are opening gradually a doorway. So our words matter. Even as parents, it's important. You know, a child may annoy you, or a friend, or a spouse, or a parent, or a sibling. What you say matters. You must fight it hard to make sure that a curse does not come from your mouth. No matter the provocation. If you are so provoked, just go and kick football outside. Go and burn the energy somehow. Don't allow a curse to come out of your mouth. Hallelujah. Because it opens a doorway to the devil. Hallelujah. Some say, I'm afraid. I'm just afraid now. We never get married. You don't make that confession. Even if you think it, don't say it. Let it die as a thought. Hallelujah. Because you don't want to open a door to the devil. Yes, another doorway to the work of his. There are so many. Let's have a good round and then round up there. I'll continue next week.
I'll say backbiting and gossip.
Yes, it's still referring to a careless use of the tongue. Yes.
I wanted to say the mind, but also our emotions.
Yes, I think it's too general. We know that the works of the flesh come from the mind or the body. We know that already. Give us a specific example of something that can come from the mind or emotions.
Someone who's always confessing negatively.
Yes, that's still words. Careless words. Another one. There's so many, you can come up with one. Okay, let's go around to the other side.
Witchcraft.
Let me quickly comment on that. I don't want to surprise you, but I will surprise you today. I hope I surprise you. If I didn't surprise you, then I've not preached enough. Let me just say, exposure to sorcery, witchcraft, mediumship, fortune telling, divination. The spirit of divination, once it's from the devil, is still a spirit of manipulation and deception. A spirit of divination may say, this is what is going to happen. But the goal of that spirit is to manipulate your life and control your life. Okay? You may find a situation, they may tell you the right, say, oh, you go to this place and say, oh, yes, on your way here, you were in the red bus, and you went to, they can give you facts. Don't be deceived. Their end goal, because when you go to this place, they will give you recommendation on what to do in your life. Their goal is to control and manipulate and deceive. Are you with me? I don't want to say there was somebody that there was a woman who had a son, and the son growing up, it turned out to be a homosexual or gay. And the woman is Christian, yeah, but she just didn't understand, you know, where did this come from? You know, maybe I've never seen this in my family, was it? And then went to this man of God who prayed for her. But on interrogation, it was found that when she was pregnant, she went to see a sorcerer or witch doctor, whatever they are, to know the sex of the baby. And that was the doorway in which that spiritual oppression came in, that exposure. Now, if you've exposed yourself, whether deliberately or to that, you need to repent of it and renounce it. Even if it's a long time in the past, renounce it. Renounce it. Make sure you do it. Amen? I didn't finish. Occult, secret societies, astrology. Say, I want to know what my stars say. It's not of God. Anything that is trying to divine your life, yeah, beyond the word of God and the spirit of God, is of the devil. And this is the last one I want to say. Magic. The part I want to talk about magic is this. You know, some days ago, or weeks ago, I had the privilege to dispose a toy that my son won. I have explained to him, he understands what I'm saying. He didn't buy it. I didn't buy it. He just won it from a school event. And it's just a box, a carton of magic, different magic tricks. These are just tricks. There's no sorcery. You know, like tricks. Now, the discernment there is this. If you do some few tricks here and there, it's okay. But when you engage your mind, because I need to define magic for you, even the simplest magic. Magic is the art of deception and manipulation. And who is the father of lies? So it's his domain. Magic, whether mere or the one with black power or white power, they are all the domain of Satan. So the problem with it is, it does be doing few tricks, you know, with your friends, or it's okay. But to meditate your mind on the heart of deception is a doorway. It looks very simple, but it is a doorway. Yes, let's have some more.
Bitterness and anger.
Yeah, we got to open our. When you got to open your, there are some things I don't do. I'm provoked. I feel like, but I don't, because when you know the consequence, bitterness, anger, unforgiveness. That's why you see some things happen to people, and you say, "But this person is a Christian. They come to church every time. They love God. But yes, but they opened a door. You see, the problem is this: you can love God, but if you open a door in one aspect, the devil will enter." In that aspect, he doesn't care whether you love God or not. He comes to steal and kill and what? And it's bitterness and anger. And you have to let go. You must not become God over anybody's life. They've offended you, yeah? The Bible says, vengeance is what? It's mine. I will what? Repay. When you are bitter and unforgiving, you are claiming the right from God to, you know, for revenge. Yes, you have to let go. So, and it's a lack of faith. If I don't trust God to put things right for me, I'm not what? In faith. If there's something I can do, I do. Something I can't do, I release it. This is a problem also with people who suffer abuse. That they can't release it, so it becomes a gateway. You have to release it to God. God will put everything right. Anybody abused anyway, whether physical, emotional, financial, whatever, let God put it right. That's the life of faith. You have to, and let me tell you something, you may struggle with bitterness, but I tell you the key to bitterness is confession. You just go and say, Father, in the name of Jesus, I forgive Fernando. He hurts me very bad. But when you declare before the Supreme Court of the universe, it's legal. Now, when you leave, you may still feel bitter. Don't mind the feeling, it's just you're lying. You go back again to God and maintain your legal position. You will heal fast. The fact that you still feel bitter because even when you say you forgive someone does not mean you've not forgiven them. Think about legality. Whatever is legal is what matters, not the feeling. You know, you can feel something, but that doesn't make it legal. What is legal is what matters. So make it legal. Confess it before God. Say, I release her. I'm not angry. I forgive her. That doesn't mean I like what she did, but I what? I forgive her. The devil will come back next day and say, oh, but you remember what he did to you and everything? Say, yes, but I have what? Forgiven. You still feel bad, but you will heal faster. Time is gone. I need to stop there. We'll continue next week. Can I take one more? Yes, tell me. What a way to finish. I like that. Yes, give us.
Selfishness?
Aha! Let me hit this, and then I'll stop there. Selfishness. Yeah? You see, hopefully I can show you something you've not seen today. You see, when you tell God to bless you, but you are sowing seeds of selfishness, you yourself are blocking the blessing. Because selfishness shows that you are not a good channel. Do you understand? God doesn't just throw, you know, Jesus said, don't throw your pearls to the swine. You know what they do with it? They will put it in the mud and bang it up. They don't know what a diamond is. God wants to bless you, yeah? The reason why God wants to bless you is so that you yourself can be a channel of what? Blessing. And another thing you don't find out is that actually, when times God wants bless you in life, He will use people. What if they were not, they were selfish? Let's assume you need 100 pounds, yeah? You've prayed, and God has approved it. He now told Brother Fernando, sorry, I'm figuring you. Nah, Fernando, God just blessed Brother Fernando with 1,000. And Fernando woke up, and the first thing that came to your mind is, give 100 pounds to yourself. If you don't release it, his prayer cannot be answered. Isn't it? So, can you see how selfishness blocks your own blessing? Because if you didn't do that next time, does God have any incentive to give you 1,000? Amen? Let's stop there because of time. Let's just rise up and pray. I think I don't want to finish. I just sit down, please. Sit down one more. I'll just jump to the end and I'll continue next week. So the question is, if you want to overcome, there are three things you need to do. But we'll look at that next week. 3 hours. Say, what is it? 3 hours. You need to repent. Say that. You need to renounce. And you need to rebuke or resist the devil. If you find a strong devil and you feel that, oh, Satan is at work here in my life because you've seen a pattern that is not of God, you need to repent of where you went wrong. That comes first. You don't start kicking the devil out before you repent, because he will not go. If the door is still open, yeah, even if he goes, he'll come back, isn't it? So you repent where you missed it. Then you begin to renounce, means I dissociate myself now with this thing. I'm no longer, you know, a participator. Like someone that has exposed themselves to sorcery or idolatry. You renounce it. Say, in the name of Jesus, I'm done. I have nothing to do with you again. Out of my life. I'm never going to involve myself with you. I'm done with astrology. I'm done. Out. That's renounce. Renounce is a public denial or a legal denial or something. No longer me. And finally, that's not enough too. Some Christians, they're always repenting and they're always falling back into sin. You know why? Because there's a final step. You need to open your mouth and say, Satan, in the name of Jesus, or you spirit of depression, you spirit of whatever, I command you, leave my body. Leave my mind. I am redeemed by the blood of Jesus. I do not permit you to dominate me. I'm a child of God. You see? And that's it. But I will talk about it less. Let's rise up and pray.